Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Now back to Warriors This Week on 95.7 The Game.
Warriors and Lakers going to start something at 5:30 tip-off. Crypto.com Arena here on 95.7 The Game. Warriors live at 4:30. But this is Warriors This Week. 1 hour left here on a Saturday as we do every single weekend, 9 to noon. Whitley Sandretto in today alongside Evan Giddings. And I think where we want to kind of kick off this final hour, we talked about the young guys a lot, some of the expectations. But at the end of the day, this franchise is all about number 30. And I don't know if it's just the kind of the sobering thought of where he is in his career because he turned 36 this week. Shout out Pi Day. And it's just wild to think about what this guy still is able to do at his age, but also the harsh reality that it's eventually going to have to come to an end. And I don't necessarily want to think about that, but I do think Steph has thought about how he wants his career to end. I think he wants it to end here, but now it's, all right, how do the Warriors put him in a position to ride off into the sunset if he can? I don't know if it's a championship, but to have him age as gracefully as possible, like he still has.
And that's, I think, what they've been trying to figure out now for a couple years. Like, after they won in 22, it was like, okay, like, you know, maybe we figured something out. But it's like the whole two timeline thing. How do you get this to work with Steph Curry, the years that he has remaining in his career? And that's something that I'm not sure they're any closer to figuring out than they were, you know, last season. Joe Lacob, I will say, he is so competitive, and I always trust Joe Lacob to do whatever he can, and he's been adamant, you know, that he wants Steph Curry to win another championship.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how are you going to do that with, you know, the money situation, all this, with your core, if you want, you know, Steph, Clay, and of course, well, now, yeah, Clay, you know, to remain here, Draymond, he obviously just signed. How do you do that with the roster that you have? That's what they're going to have to figure out. And I don't know if they're any closer to figuring that. Are you worried that this is starting to feel like maybe they're accepting this is how it's just going to fizzle out Steph's years? Mm-hmm. And now they're like, you know, it's kind of the end. Like, that's what I worry about a little bit. I don't think necessarily they're at that point yet. But, you know, Steph, in the back of his mind, you have to start thinking about that kind of stuff.
That's true. I think that's a really good question. I wonder what people think about that. 888-957-9570. Have the Warriors just kind of accepted that this is the reality? That this is the real NBA? That they're going to try to contend every year? And depending on health, depending on antics, depending on fit, and trying to get young guys in the same place as the... Are they going to be a team that is consistently just fighting to get into the playoffs? And is that, I think more importantly, is that good enough for Steph Curry? I think he's someone that, if he believes that they can win a title, he will be all in. He'll be all in regardless.
Yeah.
But I do wonder, you know, and we've seen it a little more this year. You referenced the jersey ripping after the Lakers loss. We've seen him at the podium be pretty candid, more so than past years, about, you know, whether people believe in kind of the doubters, some of the skeptics. I think he hears the noise, but he's also, like, Steph Curry's not an idiot. He knows where he's at in his game in reference to where the Warriors are at and the rest of the NBA, and specifically the Western Conference. There's a lot of Western Conference teams that aren't going anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Even if Denver doesn't win the championship this year, I don't think they're going anywhere. OKC's on the rise. Minnesota might lose Karl Anthony Towns, but they got a budding star in Anthony Edwards. The Clippers might feel like they have another year or two left, even though they're a pretty old team. You know, Phoenix has been one to consistently throw all caution to the wind and try and buy their stars, and that's how they want to compete. You know, Sacramento's still relatively young. Like, there's five or six teams that on a given year could be in front of the Warriors. So it's how do they close the gap? To me, the measuring stick right now in the NBA, but mainly in the West, is the Denver Nuggets. I don't think Curry's looking at the Warriors and saying, all right, we're instantly in a snap of a finger this summer going to get ourselves to the point where we can envision a seven-game series going our way against Denver. Because you haven't beaten them in the regular season for two. You haven't beaten them since the postseason.
Unless you made a really big move that...
And, so do you feel a big move is necessary this summer? Or if there was a big move, what that would look like?
I think if you want to contend ASAP, then yeah. Like, I think that you would have to make a big move. But the thing is, like you said, what does that look like? Who can you get? I don't know. That's the issue. And like we talked about bringing in, you know, who are you going to be able to bring in if it's like a mid-level, you know, someone who can contribute to get them to where they can compete with Denver in a seven-game series. I just don't know if that's realistically in their future for this next season. And that's what's kind of unfortunate, though, because you really want Steph. Like, he just turned 36. Time's a ticking. Like, you're going to have to do something, but I just don't know what they can do.
Yeah, I mean, even if he is Tom Brady or LeBron, and he's still playing well at age 40. Like, something I always felt flew under the radar about to take the team they're playing tonight, like the Lakers' last championship, bubble championship, whatever you want to call it. I don't think LeBron was the best player in that final series. Mm-hmm. I thought it was Anthony Davis. Either way you slice it, he had a running mate. Curry right now does not have a running mate. And in 2022, for a series or two, it was Andrew Wiggins. I thought in the first round series against Denver, it was Poole. Klay Thompson played the most playoff minutes in that postseason run. Mm-hmm. Like, they were able to kind of puzzle piece it together with players either entering their prime or exiting their prime, and that was a needle that they threaded beautifully and perhaps unexpectedly. It's becoming increasingly more difficult to do that. And that's why I think if we're looking at this summer, if there's a big move out there, my concern is that it's going to cost you your future.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
Going to cost you probably Kuminga.
It would have to. I mean, they would have to include Kuminga.
You'd have to include Kuminga, and you probably have to include picks.
Mm.
And one of the tougher parts to reconcile with the season about for me is that you don't have a first round pick. So no matter how you finish, low or high, wherever, you can't immediately get better. And we saw the immediate benefit of a first-round pick this year. Pajemski wasn't expected to be a guy, but he was. And he's a hit.
Yeah.
Trayce Jackson-Davis so far has been a hit in the second round. You know, you don't always hit on those guys, but the more first-round picks you get, the bigger chance you have. And they're not going to be able to add through the draft as they might be able to in the future. And that's why I would not want to see them mortgage their first-round selections. I would not want to see them mortgage Kuminga, and that makes it difficult to bring a big boy in. So, you know, right now they're stuck between a rock and a hard place, and that rock, unfortunately, is the reality of their aging core, and the hard place is not giving up on the future.
Yeah.
So you're right. It's funny. Like, we thought we kind of did away with the two timelines.
But not really.
But in a way, they're more prevalent than ever.
And you think, because they want to stay relevant. I think that was their main thing when they were trying to transition from, you know, Steph Curry, his era, to the new generation, the new era of the Warriors. Mm-hmm. But they want to stay relevant. They just don't want to completely fall off. Like, when you think about, like, look at OKC now, though. Look what they put together. But for how many years were they just kind of non-existent? But they were building up, you know, picks, like mm-hmm. all their draft capital that they had. Like, you see that, and you see the team that they're building into now. When do you kind of just be like, okay, you know what? We can't just stay like in the mix, average, and actually build a solid future. When do we have to kind of like go all in one way or the other?
Yeah, I mean, they haven't been forced to choose yet, but they'll probably have to.
It's probably going to happen.
It's coming. Yeah, you know, it is. And I think it's been expedited by the fact that the veterans outside of Curry and maybe Draymond have taken significant steps back. I mean, that's why I felt like the young guys, they've been necessary to the success of this season. I don't know about the future, but they've been necessary to the success of this season, or, well, I don't know if you want to call it successful yet, but they've been necessary to get to this point in the year because we didn't foresee such a steep decline from the Clays, the Wiggins, and even someone like Kevon Looney. You know, those have been dynastic pieces that have not helped you as much as you expected, or certainly as much as Steve Kerr expected. And that has been evident by the fact that at the beginning of the year, we were optimistic about the top six. And now it's like the top six is turned on its head.
Yeah, but for anyone to expect Clay to come back and be, you know, the player he was before or near that, I think it's so unfair to him because he had two of the most, you know, catastrophic, worst injuries you can have back to back. And I think what he was able to, you know, come back and do last year, just we saw flashes of a two-way player that he could be. But I think it's so unfair for people like, oh yeah, Klay Thompson's going to come back and he's going to be the same Klay. Like, that was never a realistic expectation to have. And so I think, and I'm not so sure the Warriors thought that. I know, I think some fans and everyone, you know, they're like, mm-hmm. Oh, once Klay Thompson's back, it's just going to go back to like the old days. That's not fair to him, because what he's actually been able to do and come back, and once again, I'm so superstitious, I don't want to say it, but stay fairly healthy, knock on wood. I think it's been great. He looks like he's in great shape, but you just can't expect him to be the same Clay that he was before those injuries.
No, my biggest concern is that there's been a fall off from even last year to this year. And he led the league in threes last season. That's nothing to scoff at. But last season, he had a 54-point game without Curry. Last year, he had multiple 40-point games. This year, his season high is somewhere in the low to mid-30s. You know, like, he just isn't as explosive offensively as he was even a year ago. And so, to me, the fact that he's been able to go to the bench, I commend him for that. That's mm-hmm. not easy to do as a four-time champion. And to find yourself in a position where you're trying to figure out how you fit in as opposed to the team fitting to you is a harsh reality for any future Hall of Famer to have to maneuver with. But, you know, there's a logical breaking point at the end of the season. And I think that the last 17 games, how he plays as the sixth or seventh man, whatever you want to call it, how he plays in that role is going to determine his value and future in Golden State. I hope that there's a way that they can come to terms and figure out a number that works for both sides, because I also don't think there's just a lot of shooting on this team. Mm-hmm. And whether it's Clay is shooting 38% or 41%, they need someone to space the floor so that someone like Kuminga can attack the tin, so that you can have players that aren't getting doubled as easier. He provides spacing in a way that I don't think is necessarily quantifiable. But then again, if you can go and find if you have guys on your team that can get better, improve the three-point shot, that might be an area to look at as well. 888-957-9570 is the number. Whitley Sandretto, Evan Giddings with you on Warriors this week. Let's head out to Philmo Mike, wants to welcome Whit to the program. What's up, Philmo? How we doing, my man?
Oh, what's up with it, man? How you doing, Whitney? Happy Women's History Month.
Oh, thank you.
No problem. I was just going to say, basically, though, I agree with you. The Warriors, if they do move off of Clay, they're going to need some shooting. So in the draft, they can't give them no picks. I wouldn't give them no picks, because you never know who they could snap in the draft. Now, for the rest of the season, unfortunately, it's not how everybody thought it was going to work out. So I don't know what they're going to do, but I definitely want to play. I want to play the young guys and see what they got to offer, as long as they can stay in the same position or even move up. But ultimately, I agree. What you get from Wiggins is just, icing on a cake. There's nothing to be expected. If he wake up out of his coma, you know what I'm saying? I don't want to disregard what he's going through, but he's been in a phase of fog all season. So, yeah.
Thanks, Philmo. Yeah, I mean, he's kind of been in a fog. Unfortunately, it feels like the last year and a half, really.
Yeah.
And as much as I would love to believe that the two-way Wiggs is going to be there, and I don't even know if he's going to be there for a postseason series, nevertheless, for 82 games. And that was something that stood out to me. Like, if you look at Andrew Wiggins' career, now he's been up and down. I know some people might feel like as a number one overall pick, he's been underwhelming and hasn't reached his potential. I don't know how you feel about that, but it's, to me, the one thing you could always depend on was his availability.
Yep.
If you look at his career in Minnesota, his first, five seasons, he missed a few games. Like, whether you knew which Wiggins was going to be out there or not, you knew he was going to be out there.
Yep.
That's the thing that's changed to me the most the last year and a half or year plus, is that I'm not sure, number one, the level of productivity I'm going to get from Wiggins, and two, if he's going to take an extended absence because he's got stuff that he's dealing with. And that's his prerogative. That's his life, and we got to respect that. But at the end of the day, combined with the inconsistency on the floor, he's been more of a burden than an asset, in my mind.
Yeah, I mean, I would agree with that to a certain extent. Like I said, I do feel bad for him just because him dealing with a lot off the court, and I know that can take a toll on someone. But what he's done since 2022 is not going to help them now, and it's not going to help them, it's looking like, in the future. And so there's a point where I do think that you're going to have to make the decision, and you are going to have to move off Wiggins. And Steve Kerr, I mean, everyone in the locker room, though, they love Andrew Wiggins. He just is one of the nicest, human beings. He just is a great vibe around the team, but they want to win games. And I don't think right now you can consistently count on Andrew Wiggins to be out there every night. And that's one thing, like, you bringing up him, he was always reliable. He was always out there, kind of like Clay before injuries.
Yeah.
Out there every single night, you could always count on him. And that's what Andrew Wiggins was until pretty much last season.
Yeah. I mean, just looking up and down, like, even when he got to Golden State, his first two full seasons, he played 71 and 73 games. That's necessary.
Yeah.
Like that, and as the rest of the core gets older, I mean, that to me is why they signed him to the contract they did. That's why they gave him 4 years, is because they expected him in his mid to now late 20s to pick up some of the slack of Clay getting older, Draymond getting older, Steph getting older. And instead, we have seen, and this is a little glaring, we've seen Wiggins' minutes go down.
Mm-hmm.
He's gotten 33 when he first got here, or 33 and a half when he first got here, then 33, then 32, 32 last year across 37 games, and this year he's playing 27 minutes a night. That is not the direction you want to see someone who is supposed to be a focal point of your team. That's not the direction you want to see them going. And I'm glad that it's also allowed, Kuminga, and perhaps in various spots, Pajemski to get more time, Moses Moody to get more time.
Yeah.
But that's part of it too, is I think if we are going to see what the Warriors have in their young players, they have a few stop gaps. And Wiggins is still one of those players. Like, if you're a big Moses Moody fan, I know a lot of people have been pointing the finger at Pajemski that he's getting too much time and how come he gets rope. They're like, the stop gap for Moody is Wiggins. Like, they are redundant, in the words of Steve Kerr, in my mind. So in order to figure out what you got in Moody, I think Wiggins is someone that's in his way. For this season, like, you want him out there, and they're playing good basketball with him, and him and Kuminga were able to figure out how to fit, and Draymond could glue him and all the rest. But even if Wiggins plays well, unless the Warriors, in my mind, Witt, get to a second-round series and even further, like, I just think there's got to be some shakeup with this team, because I don't also believe that Joe Lacob is okay with either staying in the same place or, God forbid, taking a step back.
Oh, he's definitely not. I mean, you've been around Joe Lacob. You know how competitive he is. One of my favorite things to do actually during the game is just watch Lacob. And just during some of these games, he just looks miserable. But then when they win, he's happy. But there has to be a shakeup. Like, there's no question at this point. There has to be something that changes. And going back to what Steph said before the trade deadline, insanity, it's like the definition, doing the same thing, but expecting different results.
Yeah.
Even when you have your superstars, Stephen Curry saying stuff like that, that is clearly like, okay, obviously the trade deadline, nothing happened, which we didn't really expect. But in the future and stuff, like, something has to happen if they want to contend within the near future. They have to do something.
I'm with you. Whitley Sandretta with us here on Warriors This Week. Evan Giddings, 95.7 The Game. Rich is in Daly City. 888-957-9570, by the way, is the phone number. Rich, what's happening, my man? How are you?
Hey, good afternoon. How's it going?
Awesome.
I've been well. Yeah, you know, I think the issue was really where the whole two-track thing, really what this year has revealed is it really should have just been one, where you're blending old and young, as opposed to saying, we're going all old or we're going all young, and we don't have to do the young. I think, you know, with the salary repair, what it is, unfortunately, I think this year is going to be the last year you can do that, because you have the apron next year, and you're going to have to decide and dump, because our top four guys are making like 80% of the salaries, and you can't keep doing that and still expect developing and being competitive. I mean, can you imagine if we kept Jordan Poole and we kept Wiseman and kept existing people, we'd be 10 deep already, at least, with the next crop of Warriors ready to go next year. We're going to have to pay them soon. So, I don't know. I mean, is it this year or bust, or what do you guys think?
Well, I certainly hope it's not this year or bust, because I don't think it's happening this year.
No, it's definitely not happening this year.
Thanks for the call, Rich. Again, 888-957-9570 is the number. This is from Francis Clome on the YouTube chat, powered by First NorCal Credit Union. I, for one, ain't feeling salty whatsoever, but unless Steph says otherwise, I need a chip. I think Witt, and look, I want the Warriors to win as bad as anyone. I think we have to release ourselves from the championship or bust mentality for the remainder of Curry's career. That doesn't mean you don't try and maximize what's left of him, but they're in a reality in which they're just a team right now. They're another team in a stacked Western Conference, and I don't think that's going to change unless something drastic happens, and unless they kind of run into some luck. You know, luck could be in a playoff format, an injury to another team. You know, I don't know if Kawhi Leonard misses some time, they end up matching with the Clippers, like, or I don't know, MPJ for Denver goes down. Like, every championship team catches breaks, but now more than ever, the Warriors need breaks, I think, to make a deep run and to really put themselves in a position where, like, maybe it's this summer where there's a superstar that's unhappy and there's someone that they can go out and fetch. And that might be someone that you're willing to give up a few pieces of your future for. I don't know if it's, you know, it could be Giannis.
Maybe say, cue the Giannis rumors.
could be Embiid. I don't know. I mean, it's going to be something like that. Like, there's no logical move right now if you just look at who's a free agent and who's going to be available and who the Warriors are able to bring in under the financial constraints they're currently presented with. There's no big boy move out there. The biggest acquisition they could have made, for example, the trade deadline, was probably Pascal Siakam.
Mm-hmm.
For me, that doesn't move the needle enough to give up or mortgage your future.
Yeah, no, me neither. Going back to, like, this is the real NBA. Right here, this is the real NBA. And this just shows, it's pretty remarkable to think about how the Warriors have spoiled all of us,
yeah,
you know, over the past decade. Just, like, what they've been able to do, it's pretty much unheard of, basically. But now it's just coming back down to reality. Like, this is what you have to accept. This is the future. This is what, you know, they're trying to figure out. But this right here, this is the real NBA that we are all in our own little bubble for, you know, however many years. And we got so spoiled by the Warriors teams, and now this is what it is.
Yeah, like, you can't just continue to run back a team for 20 years.
Yeah.
It's just the fact that they've run back the same three for, what, the last 12, that's historic. That's incredible. And eventually that's going to come to an end. I would love to see all three of those guys walk off into the sunset with a championship in their final season and hoist a banner and all this and all the rest, but You know, and the reality, if the Warriors don't win another championship, I feel like we have to accept the satisfaction that they've given us.
Yeah.
And I hope that they have another couple runs in them, but do I expect this team with their future, with the pieces they have, with, you know, like, as much as I'd love to see Kuminga step in at age 22 next year and be a dude, is that reasonable to expect? No, I think he's probably got a couple more years until we can accurately assess whether he is a star or not. I love the confidence from Pajemski. He's still a rookie. I don't know what he's going to be. Trayce Jackson-Davis, this could be the player that he is for the next 5 or 6 years. Is that going to be good enough? They have a lot of questions that they got to kind of wrestle with. And while also, I don't know if you look at Curry as someone that they have to placate for or keep satisfied. Because I also think Steph is a realist. Yeah. And I think Steph wants to be here until the end of his career. And in my mind, he's the only one at this point that I can fully say I believe will be a Warrior for life. Yeah. Now, if Draymond wants to end his contract here, that's, but if he wants to play beyond that contract, it's going to be hard for me to say it's in Golden State kind of thing.
It doesn't sound like Draymond wants to play for that much longer, though, if you've heard him talk. Like, he's talked about retirement.
Curry's only there for 2 years, too.
Yeah. And I mean, I think the goal is for Draymond to be with Steph for the rest of their careers. And I want to say Clay, too. But for sure, you know, Steph and Draymond, and just the way they work on the court together, that's one thing. Draymond's always looking for Steph Curry. They're just like, everyone's talking about the Splash Brothers, this and that. But Draymond and Steph on the court together, that's kind of what makes the team who they are, especially now. But yeah, I don't know. It's going to be interesting.
These are the unanswerables, but it's what we try and figure out every single Saturday from 9 to noon. We'll continue with our final segment on the other side. That's Whitley Sandretto. Evan Giddings with you here on Warriors This Week. We're taking your calls on the other side at 888-957-9570 on 95.7 The Game.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Warriors This Week continues on 95.7 The Game.
All right, one final segment here on Warriors This Week on 95.7 The Game. Lakers and the Warriors tonight, 5:30 tip on 95.7 The Game. Also, Warriors Live will be at 4:30 later on this evening. Looking forward to having that for you. But Stephen Curry, in all likelihood, expected to be back tonight, officially questionable, along with Draymond Green. I think LeBron James and Anthony Davis are also both questionable, or AD's probable. But, Whit, I appreciate you carrying me the way we all expect to carry us tonight. Whitley Sandretto, by the way. No, you've done an awesome job today, Whit.
You know, I used to, back in my prime, I was quite the shooter. I carried my high school team.
Well, I've seen your pop a shot game, and it is pretty impressive. I know that's something you hang your hat on.
Yes, pop a shot. And honestly, one thing, and I'm still building up the courage, but I'm gonna try. I'm Steph and Clay. I'm convinced I can beat both of them. Ooh. I'm building up the courage, and I'm going to challenge them to one-on-one, pop a shot.
Hey, Whit, how'd you do with the 95-7 okay. game inaugural knockout
That's
contest?
Not pop a shot.
Okay, let's not talk about that.
Who'd, you, who'd defense, you get knocked out by?
Oh, stop. In my defense.
Guru?
No. Even, I don't say.
You can say it.
Oh, was it Mark?
Sam.
Oh, boy.
Love you, Sam.
Sam Lubman.
Yeah, in my
morning
defense.
Morning producer extraordinaire.
In my defense,
not a great athlete.
We had like an hour of warm-ups though, and I was taking NBA threes the entire time. I'm pulling a Guru right now. This is my excuse. And my arm got tired, and I went up there. Not only did I miss the free throw, but I smoked two layups.
That
is embarrassing.
Is what's gonna hurt. Yeah, you can't waste all the bullets in warm-up. You gotta save some for the game. It's like, okay, I actually remember this. Last year we were at a game, and you know, we'll be down like getting footage for social and stuff. Or I should say you are, but we'll be watching Clay and Steph and all the guys warm up, and there was like a game where Clay did not miss in warm-ups.
I don't think he missed one shot.
Didn't miss a single shot. And you come up to me and you're like, hey, I think Clay's gonna have a big game tonight. He's on one. And he might have gone like 2 for 15. Like he literally.
It was like his worst game of the season.
Yeah. I don't know. That's just how it goes. You shoot your shots in warm up, you got none for the game.
It's awful. In my defense, again, one time I did predict Clay. It was like his first big game after he came back from injury. And I was like, I'm feeling it tonight. That was when Grant Lipman was still there. And I turned to him and I said, Clay's gonna go off for 30 plus. And he did. And everyone was like, oh, you can see the future. But my prediction that night was completely, clearly off.
I think there was also one post game where Curry said something like, you know, I couldn't make a shot in warm-ups. Like, it was just absolutely terrible. And then, you know, of course, they'll go out and hit like 10 threes. There's no rhyme or reason to how shooters shoot. But yes, Sam Lubman is your arch nemesis from here on out.
I'm going to get my revenge one day.
One day. Hopefully the Warriors can get their revenge on the Lakers in Los Angeles tonight, because they have not won there since October 19th, 2021, looking for their first victory in damn near over 3 years at the Crypt. But 888-957-9570 is the number. Whitley Sandretto, Evan Giddings with you up until 12 o'clock. It's been a lot of fun here on Warriors this week. I've covered a lot, including our expectations for the final 17 games, you know, kind of the results, the developmental aspect of things. In my opinion, I think vets also fighting for their future on this roster. To me, Kuminga being important to the now, to the future, and his emergence has given a lot of people hope for what the rest of, I think, Stephen Curry's career can be. And I think, Whit, you know, the biggest question that I kind of had last week in his absence, and really what I'm looking forward to seeing the rest of the season from Curry is just, you know, how much more he can give. And it might be unfair to expect him to just put the team on his back every single night. He's going to have some duds. And I think even this season, he's had more games where he's missed or hasn't made a three than like the last 5 years combined, which is two. But, you know, what is left for Steph this season? Because when he's on, the Warriors are on. But it's like he's got to look for a different guy every night. I don't know if you've sensed this. I feel like Steph has been more of the scoring Steph than we've seen in recent years. And it might sound weird for, you know, talking about the shooter like that. But I think it's reflected a little bit in the assist numbers. Chris Paul's addition has something to do with it. But Steph, to me, has been like more, tried to be more aggressive than in recent years.
I mean, he's had to be, because who else? I mean, Kuminga, like we've been talking about. But other than that, Steph has to be aggressive. He has to be the scorer. We've seen what they do when he's not on the court, when he's out going, you know, 1 of 5 when he hasn't played this season. So I think he's had to be aggressive. But how long can he just have everything on his shoulders? That's, you know, when you turn 36, that's what you have to start thinking about. And it's completely unfair to Steph Curry to expect him to do that. Steve Kerr talked about that multiple times this season. They've had to ask way too much of Steph. Now he is Steph Curry, so he's just incredible, and he can do pretty much whatever you need him to do. But even though Steph, he won't admit it, he all season long he said, I'm not tired, he's gotten tired.
Yeah.
And I don't think that's because, oh, he's aging and, you know, all this other stuff, like he's falling off. No, I think he's tired because he's had so much on his shoulders. But then also he's accepted what this team is, what this roster is. And that's an average team. So you can only do so much. And I think he's accepted that. But yeah.
No, you were one of the first people that was onto this, at least when we were talking just the games of like, you know, watch Steph and Clay in the fourth quarter. Like one of the reasons why they have blown a lot of late leads is, yes, because maybe their defense wasn't what it used to be. I know they've reshuffled rotations. They've gotten better as of late. But throughout the season, you need your guys to carry you. And for most of the season, especially, well, in last year, too, that you know, the top two scorers are the Splash Brothers, up until Kuminga took the step forward this year. But Curry, sometimes he has looked tired in fourth quarters. Mm-hmm. And that's, to me, why the emergence of young players, or just them getting up to speed and contributing, has been important as well. Because if I'm looking at players that I think can play 35 minutes, my mind is not going to a 36-year-old. Yeah. It's going to a guy who's 21. And I would like to see Kuminga leaned on more throughout the game, because I think that can also take some pressure, whether it's if Steph's on the floor, making his minutes less taxing, or in some cases, also keeping his minutes at or around 30 minutes. I think one of the reasons why Draymond has been really good since coming back is, well, one, he got an extended break.
Yeah, got some rest.
Yeah, got a little lighter. But also, they've kept his minutes at around 27. I mean, Draymond's not playing heavy minutes as much, especially at the five. So I think that's been able to keep him efficient. And like, whether you like it or not, you're going to have to ride some of these young horses. Yeah. Like, you have to.
And I think we've been seeing a little bit more, like, where they have put a little bit more on Kuminga, you know, in these late game situations. But I agree for the most part, because this season, there have been several occasions, several games where you see, you know, Steph doing what he does, and then late in games, it's, you know, he does look a little bit fatigued. Klay Thompson especially, which, like I said, you don't expect him after the injuries he had to come back and just be the Klay Thompson he was before. But now, you know, when Klay had a hot game, you knew he was going to be hot. Like, yeah, he'd be going off. And so, say if he had a hot first quarter, the first half, he was, you know, just being Klay Thompson, making everything. You're like, oh, this is going to be one of those games. You can't so much say that now, because typically what happens, what was it, a few games ago, he got off, he had like 20-some in the first half.
Against Denver.
Yeah, and then the second half, he just kind of went, of course, you know, they made some adjustments, but he just kind of went MIA. But I think it's his legs kind of weak, you know, yeah, as the game goes on, and they just, he, especially Klay, he can't sustain like he did before.
No, I think that's exhibit A for what Klay Thompson can and probably should be expected to do, which is have a hot quarter, a hot half. But if you need Klay Thompson to be just a flamethrower for 48 minutes, I hate to break it to you, like, we might see that a few times a year, but you can't rely on that. Just like I don't think you can rely on Curry playing 35 minutes. I don't think he can rely on Draymond playing north of 30 at the five for the majority of games. I don't think he can rely on Andrew Wiggins being the two-way guy for 30 minutes a night. Like, that's where I think Steve Kerr's job has been very difficult this season. I'm glad to see he was rewarded with a two-year deal, because I think it's natural. It aligns with Steph and Draymond for the most part. We'll see if Klay gets his end of the bargain. But I also think that he has had to do more coaching than ever before, or has had to make more in-game decisions than ever before. Just like we were discussing how he could run back the roster. Well, Steve Kerr could just run back his rotation. Like, he's got to make a couple adjustments here and there to the eighth man, ninth man, that kind of stuff. But for the most part, he knew what his top six was. And this year, his top six has been completely flipped.
Yep.
And he's had to figure out how to empower young players while also, you know, maybe placate a bit to the sensitivity of some of the older guys, but also recognizing he's got to bench him at times, he's got to go away from him. And it just doesn't feel like there's been much consistency up until recently. And that's what I'm really hoping for tonight against the Lakers, is that when Steph comes back, Draymond comes back, the consistency that we saw from, I'd say, the like late January to the beginning of February, mm-hmm, up until Curry got hurt, that can return. Because if it does, well, then I think we're having a very different conversation in a week when you look at opponents like the Lakers. But then, you know, moving forward, you got home games on Monday against New York and Memphis, Friday against Indiana. You got four games from the time that we'll talk now until we talk a week from now. And if they're able to go 3-1 or perhaps 4-0, getting Seth back, getting right, well, then maybe we are discussing a team that can get it, that looks like it can play its best basketball. But I just, naturally, it's really hard to judge the Warriors without Curry.
Yeah, and I mean, this season, that's just kind of been what's happened the entire season, is you get one person back, then one person's out, whether it was suspension or injury. And that's just like Steve Curry's had to navigate how to figure out these rotations. But right before Steph got injured, they were, you know, figuring out rotations. They were getting consistent. They looked like they were coming together. So you hope you put Steph back in and that just goes back to normal. Everyone else stays healthy and they could go on a run right here, you know, to finish the regular season.
Yeah, it's, I think also that the war of attrition is, it's kind of caught up with them a little bit, but it will continue to, because they have 17 games left, but they play 17 games in less than 30 days.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot of basketball. So I'm curious, because like on the Comcast Business Text Line here, that to me is the biggest reason why I might see from the 415, who believes they're going to fizzle out. They've been 500 less or more all season. Is Greg in San Francisco saying, quote, they won't likely beat the Lakers tonight, even with Curry, so they should just wait, kind of look ahead. You know, to me, the biggest battle they're going to have to face, and this is why, no matter what happens this year, because I also just don't foresee a deep postseason run, got to get younger. You have to find a way to get younger, because I know we got caught up in the whole regular season thing doesn't matter and it's all about the playoffs, but the regular season does matter. And 82 games is a lot of games across 5 or 6 months. And we're seeing that more and more over the last year and a half, that you can't just have older players and expect them to play 65 to 75 games. Across the league, it's not how it works.
Mm-mm. No, you can't at all.
So, you know, and right now the Warriors, I think, you know, if we're talking about tonight, you know, I'm curious to see how they match up with the Lakers. I think they can win, but it's a game that, this is an elimination game in Los Angeles. I don't know how confident I am. I don't know how confident I am the Warriors could then go on the road and beat Dallas or maybe Sacramento and then go win a first-round postseason series. I know we got like 10 minutes here left, Whit, but it just got my mind brewing a bit. When you think about a successful season from this point on, where does your mind kind of go?
That's a great question.
Like, do they have to get to the first round? Do they have to win a first round series?
You're saying moving forward after this season?
Or no. Sorry, just for the remainder of this season.
I would say,
like, what constitutes a successful year? I'm not even sure.
I hate to say this, but yeah, I mean, just making it to the first round to get the young guys' experience. I think that would be, but also finishing the season with a healthy Steph Curry, which obviously Steph Curry is your team. But I think I just don't see them making it out of the first round. But I do think that they need to make it there for the young guys to get the experience that they need to hopefully next year make it further or the following year. I just don't see them getting out of the first round. So I think if they make it out of the play-in and get to the first round, I think that would be pretty, I mean, they probably wouldn't agree, but I think with this team and how just inconsistent they are, which makes them an average team, I think that would be successful.
On the 209 of the Comcast Business Text Line, Warriors playoff run begins tonight, beating the Lakers and going on a run to catch Sacramento and Dallas. I think that's going to be dangerously difficult. You're probably going to need 12 or 13 wins in your last 17 games, in my opinion, to do that, just because of the tie-breaking scenario. Or going to need those teams to fall off a cliff, which it doesn't look like they will. You know, we've gotten a lot of this from the YouTube chat, powered by First NorCal Credit Union. You know, the fact that you're 9th or 10th, you got to just get to the first round. Is there any way to get to the second round? I think that's a really big ask for a team that is older, for a team that is, quite frankly, less talented than a lot of teams at the top. And it's just going to be hard to replicate even what they did last year. Like, beating Sacramento in 7 games was hard.
Hard.
Was really hard.
Took everything. A healthy Kevon Looney, Steph Curry, just being Steph Curry. Like, they almost didn't win that series.
And that's why I think shakeup is coming one way or another this summer, because we've seen how hard it is for them to probably be a 9 or 10 seed. I mean, best case scenario, you're 7 or 8, but you're still a play-in team.
Mm-hmm.
So we've seen what it's taken for them just to get to the play-in tournament. And some people might say, well, you know, Draymond hadn't got suspended. Some people might say, well, what if Chris Paul hadn't gotten hurt? Or, you know, what if there'd been, well, what if Steve Kerr would have been on board with the young guys? All these what ifs don't really matter at this point in the year. And you can't just say that they're going to be not issues next year, that there's not going to be things that happen next year, because you're going to be in the same place. That's what we were saying all summer, is like, well, you know, Poole was a problem child. Or a lot of people were saying that. Poole was a problem child. Let's get him out of here. Let's get Chris Paul in. Let's get the big boys. Let's get the vets. We need proven players. We drafted a ready-made rookie in Pajemski. We got a four-year player in TJD. This is why we're going to align. We're going to have a set rotation. We're going to be good. And then all these things start to happen, and you're like, well, I guess we're kind of look at another 44, 45 win season. That to me is why you cannot maintain the status quo this summer.
No.
You just can't do it. Even if they get to a first round series, to me, it's not good enough.
No. I mean, regardless, when I said that I think that's like what would be successful this season,
yeah,
it's just because I kind of don't expect it to happen, per se.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't expect them especially to make it out of a first round series. I just don't see that happening. But moving forward this summer, I mean, they're just, something has to change, or it's going to be the same exact situation. Like, something pretty drastic. You have to get younger. You have to do something. Something has to change, or it's going to be the same thing we've seen the last 2 years.
From the 415 and the Comcast Business Text Line, this may be the question I think everyone's kind of rolling around their brains. Is Curry going to win his fifth ring with the Warriors or some other team? I hate to break it to you, he might not win a fifth ring, like with the Warriors or another team. I hate to say that.
I don't know, man. I hope he does. I think Lakeup, I feel like Lakeup's going to do everything he can to hopefully make that happen. But it's going to be tough. Really tough.
Yeah, no, I think they're kind of strapped at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they dug deep and doubled down on the championship team that won it 2 years ago, and that was great. That was unbelievable. That was maybe the most fun I've ever had, certainly covering a team, but watching a basketball team. There's been a lot of really good Warriors teams over the years, but that one was incredible because it was pretty much unexpected. But because of that, you're in the place that you are now. And I think they're finally, like last year, I felt like they had to give the team another opportunity. This year, to me, after two seasons, jury's out.
Yeah.
Like, this team is just not able to get you over the hump. And not to say you have to win a championship, but we're talking, again, we've been tossed around, how can they get out of the play-in? Like, how can they get to a first-round postseason series? And you said it in the first hour, Whit. It's like, why would the veterans care about a play-in tournament?
It'd be tough.
That's not what they're here to play for.
Mm-mm.
No. They're not there to get to the first round and lose.
Everything they've accomplished. Although when in 2021, when they lost in the play-in, Steph was just like, oh, do you remember that after the game? He was just like, so I was shocked at how like upset he was after they lost that. Because, well, he's a competitor. I mean, of course he's going to be upset, but he was so upset after they lost.
This team ain't used to losing.
Yeah.
I mean, they haven't been. What? That was the first Western playoff series that Steve Kerr had lost, right?
The play-in?
No. You're talking about 2021?
Yeah, 2021.
Sorry. Yeah. No, I was talking about last year with the Lakers. But no, you're right. Yeah, 2021, they were pissed.
Mm-hmm.
And that ended up help fueling them for the revenge tour that turned into a championship. I'm not sure if I feel the same way about their chances, because that year you didn't have Klay. You had just gotten Wiggins. Poole hadn't really taken the step yet. There were some key additions they made that offseason. You talked about Otto Porter Jr., Gary Payton II, even Bielitsa played big minutes in the playoffs. Like, there were guys. Iguodala was healthy. I don't know. Like, even though there are pieces from that championship team that still remain on this, I think they're very different. The teams are very, very different. and it's more about the future than it is the present than ever before.
Yeah, I mean, it's just crazy how much has changed with this team in 2 years. And they still have their core.
Can you believe Kuminga and Moody were rookies on that team?
One of my favorite tweets of all time was after they won the championship, and someone said that they're all going to be over there drinking champagne, and Moody and Kuminga are going to be drinking their Capri Sun. And I'm like, that is such a great tweet. They're so young. I mean, they're still young, but...
Yeah, it feels like they're still babies. I guess that's the only thing that doesn't feel like a lifetime ago. It's Kuminga and Moody. Like, and now they're... Well, Kuminga more so, but Kuminga's been forced into the limelight.
Yeah.
We'll see if he's ready for it. But he's certainly got a lot on him tonight, a lot of eyes on him in Los Angeles, as do the Golden State Warriors. You want to put on your prediction hat? We always like do. I like to do this to Devone just because he hates predictions. And so if you feel
the same
way. I
hate him because I'm stitches. I'm a little stitches.
Then we're going to do him. Warriors by 20, right?
I'm not going to say that. It's going to be a close one. It's going to be close.
Every game.
I know.
Year's been close.
You know what? I'm going to say they're going to win tonight. I'm going to say that they're going to win tonight.
God, they got to break the streak.
Exactly. God, I think, you know what? I'm going to be optimistic. I think they're going to win tonight. It's going to happen.
I think they will too. I look forward to breaking it all that down. A Warriors Live coming up at 4:30, 5:30 tip, 95.7 the game with Tim Roy down in Los Angeles. But Whitley, thank you so much for doing
this
today.
This has been fun.
This was, 3 hours flew by, right?
Yeah, it
just
did.
Snap of a finger.
Look at that.
All right, for Whitley Sandretto, for Mark Grandy, for everyone here at 95.7 The Game, my name is Evan Giddings saying thank you for tuning in. Everyone that called, everyone that texted in, everyone that chimed in on the Comcast Business Text Line, YouTube, and Twitch chat powered by First NorCal Credit Union. We'll talk to you later on today when the Warriors take on the Lakers. In the meantime, enjoy the rest of your afternoon. Don't get too wild at the St. Paddy's Day Parade. I'll see you on Market Street. And then in a few hours. We'll talk to you later.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.